Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Again last night proved why I don't think they're going to be a playoff team when push comes to shove here. Four games to go. They still remain in a playoff spot as of now with a one-game lead due to the Reds and Diamondbacks both losing last night. You heard Bogish mention what's in front of them today. But, I mean, BT, I just felt last week, I think it was last Thursday, 1 week from today, or 1 week ago today, you were out and I came on just saying, it was the first time in my gut, I don't think they had enough. And now you're seeing it play out where Tong last night doesn't have it. Peterson the night before already in the bullpen in the third inning in consecutive nights. There's no more off days to give them a little bit of a respite. It's no more, all right, well, they got this guy and that guy. Like, they don't even have a plan beyond McClain tonight. Outside of Sproat starting one of the final three games, there is no plan for the Mets. Holmes and Manaea were pitching last night, not to mention the sloppy play, the inconsistent offense. Like, is there more? I mean, is there any more I could pile on top of the list with the New York Mets as to why you should believe and accept that this team is not, in fact, going to the postseason this year? So that's the way we started. The Mets getting clobbered last night, even though they didn't lose any ground in the standings.
Okay, so there's evidence, Sal, and then there's circumstances. There's zero evidence that the Mets are ready to wake up out of this baseball coma that they've for some reason been in for basically 4 months, although it's worsened, you know, very sharply recently. I don't think that they're necessarily going to do that. But then the circumstances is really the only thing that you could latch onto. Like, what the Mets do on the baseball field every night, I don't know how anybody has an ounce of faith that they're going to get this right. I don't. But based on the teams around them, which speaks to the circumstances, I still think they get in. Now, I don't quite feel as good today as I did yesterday. I thought that that would be a galvanizing kind of win, much like I did Pete's walk-off. And then they won the next game after that as well. But then that was quickly, like, that energy was diverted from a positive vibe to a negative vibe again. I don't know why this whole team's getting swallowed up. I think it's almost too easy to say that it's the starting pitching, which is definitely the origin of it. There's no doubt. Like, if you get,
it's more than that, but that is the main reason.
I agree. Like, if we look back, and when we look back, and whenever we have that big macro discussion about the 2025 Mets, it's going to be largely hinged on the starters who they relied on, the veterans who were making a few bucks, and we know the names, not doing their job, and or Stearns maybe not putting themselves in a position and, you know, to have enough quality arms, not quantity, which is something else we've discussed here. That is absolutely accurate here, but I don't understand why the other aspects of the team are falling apart. And the sloppiness on the defensive side is inexplicable and unacceptable. You got to hope you get lucky at this point. I wish I had something better for you. I don't.
Yeah, right. I'm not relying on hope or luck. I know enough to know it when I see it. And you could say, feel differently 2 weeks ago, like, all right, well, they still should be good enough to get in with the Diamondbacks or Reds or Giants chasing them. But it's about them. And if you think about the math over the four games, you know, not to mention they don't have the tiebreaker of either the Reds or Diamondbacks. So all that it will take is one of those teams to go on a little bit of a streak here, win three out of the final four, even maybe 2-2, could get it done. I'm not so sure the Mets are going to go better than that on the Final Four. Like, they might go 1-3 here. If they lose today, I think they're losing 2 out of 3 against the Marlins. So, and tonight's their best shot because they have Nolan McLean, and you would expect, okay, well, McLean tonight for at least 6, maybe 7 innings into what should be, you know, the high-end bullpen guys, Raley, Diaz, Rogers, not being used yesterday. So that, to me, this is their best chance. Of the final four games remaining, tonight is the Mets' best chance to win a game. They have their best starter on the mound, and they have their A weapons in the bullpen who should be available. If they can't win this game tonight, and I'm not sold that they can, then they are, I think they're done already. Then they're definitively done. Like, don't even watch this weekend, done. Because this is the game that they have to win. And then, even if they do win tonight, hold off the Diamondbacks and Reds at least for another day, there are 3 games to play with 1-game lead. Unless one of those, you know, both those teams lose, obviously would turn it too. Even if they win tonight, there's nothing guaranteed to me.
Okay, so this is one of the frustrating things about baseball. We love baseball, the basicness of it, the beauty of it, the constants, you know, it's always there. We love it, right? But the thing that's tough about baseball when your team's reeling is there's really not, you can tell everybody what's wrong, clearly, but there's really not a lot of suggestions that can be made. Like, we could talk about the Giants, who are 0-3, and say, well, maybe it's time for Dart. Maybe it's time to blitz more on defense. Maybe it's time to put Abdul Carter in a different spot. Or when the Knicks didn't look great during the year, hey, maybe it's time to go to the bench a little bit more. Maybe it's time to play Jalen Brunson off the ball. What can what can Mendoza even try to do? What can he try to do to shake this thing up?
I don't think there is anything.
You're not going to mix up the lineup at this point because those guys are hitting a little bit. I mean, what's the recourse? There's nothing to do.
What I would do if I were him is stop playing the numbers. Stop playing the data and analytics and expecting it to work. I think he's managed in such a way that he could just say, well, I did what the analytics and numbers said. Not my fault. This is what happened. And there's a lot of truth to that, certainly with the rotation. With the lineup, it's not. He's the manager. You got to know better than to put Vientos at third base. And I don't care that he's a right-handed hitter and you want him in the lineup. I don't care. He's not a fielder. And you need to tighten things up here. Lefty on lefty, whatever it may be, bad matchup. Beatty should be the third baseman because he's your best third baseman right now. That's it. End of story. And he's gone too much. Okay, well, this lineup is going to be, he's doing what Boone used to do for years. It drives me nuts. Well, this lineup against this pitcher because these metrics say so. And it obviously has not worked for the Mets. So that would be the one thing that I would advise Mendy not to do the final four games. Just manage with your gut instead of the numbers, instead of the matchups. And because that's not working for you. It's not working. Go with your gut. Put your best players out there who you think give you the best chance to win. And maybe something will come positive.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we'll see. And I do agree with Beatty playing third base. Vientos is a butcher over there. And Beatty's shown, you know, a really good arm, quick feet, good hands. You know, it's not like he's hitting 130 against lefties. He's competent. He's going to give you a competitive at-bat against lefties. I really like his growth. So I'm not saying I wouldn't play Vientos as a DH, but no, Beatty's got to play third. Outside of that, I'm not really sure what you do. You got Taylor back in center, made a good defensive play, throw somebody out at the plate early. So that helped out a little bit here. But the rest of the team is kind of
a good play. That was an incredible play.
You know, he's
that throw.
He's
a gamer.
He is a gamer, yeah. Yeah, he's a gamer. He's a gamer.
He's not great, but he's their best option, clearly. And when you make a play like that, like, dude, that's a winning play on a team with, you know, on a losing team. I cleaned it up there for everybody. Just didn't know we'd get in trouble. That's a winning play on a losing team right now. That could have saved the game had the team actually had some guts or some fight or some ability to get through, I don't know, the third inning with a starting pitcher.
One thing, and I know we'll get back to these calls here, but I would have gone even a little further if I was Mendoza. You and I both like his candid nature last night.
Yeah.
You know, generally it's been a lot of this, Sal, hey, we got the talent, we got to figure it out, we got to find a way to win, we got a little time here, but we got to start playing better. It's really been a regurgitation of the same post-game press conference for well over a month. Actually, for probably a couple of months at this point. Last night he deviated from that, and I applaud him for it. It was a little raw. It was a little blunt. I would have gone even more. Like, I don't know if there's not so many things that you could do from a lineup perspective, maybe outside of third base. Maybe the next or the only play is a psychological ploy. And maybe, you know, I don't know, you run the risk of, like, if you go too far and you embarrass them, maybe they just shut down. But at this point, I'm trying anything. So maybe last night he should have got even more and been like, maybe he should have just ripped them last night.
Yeah. If this isn't shut down, I don't know what is. BT and Sal on the Fan. Also discussed the Yankees as well. Yankees now tied for that division in the American League East. but obviously don't have the tiebreaker. So, and that could change everything over these next 4 days when you think about, man, a potentially dangerous wild card series with the Red Sox, or having the entire week off, resting up, letting the Blue Jays and Red Sox go battle it out as you await the winner. So there's a lot there as well. Judge hitting home runs number 50 and 51. We get into that and the MVP stuff. Do that coming up. Get into the football a little bit later on. Sounds like Justin Fields is going to be back. Now, he's back practicing, which is part of protocol. He's still in protocol, but sounds like he might be a go for Monday night, which can help, so we could dive into that as well. Tony Richardson in studio at 1 o'clock. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Charles is calling from Allenhurst, New Jersey. What's up, Charles?
Boys, what's going on?
How are you, Charles?
You know, I'm good. I mean, I could be better, actually. Watching this baseball team has been terrible. And I agree with you completely, Sal. I don't think they have enough. And I think I remember you did a show just before the season started this year, and you were talking about, like, yeah, they have a good offensive team. You know, this could be good. But you were talking about how their rotation stinks. And it's been something we've been talking about since spring training. I mean, everyone knew in the offseason, like, oh, is this really the pitching staff they're going to go with? They're not going to get a frontline guy. Like, we were all looking at the rotation coming into the year like, ooh, I don't know if I believe in that. You know, Kodai Senga missed the entire season last year.
Yeah, I've never been a Senga fan. Never been a Senga fan. And, you listen to the way that the manager speaks about him. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do the math.
I mean, dude, last night he's saying he's throwing a bullpen and he's velos down because the temperature in Florida? Give me a break, man. Like, how many excuses does he need? 6 days rest. He needs his mechanics feeling perfect. He needs 68.3 degree temperature to give you five innings. Like, give me a break with this guy. You go, you know, Peterson had a good year last year, but he had never shown stuff like that in his career last year. You know, he had the hip surgery and he pitched well. You were relying on Montas. He's not even a major leaguer. Holmes has done a nice job, but he's clearly tiring out. You had to know that was going to happen, given the fact that he was a reliever for all these years. You have Blackburn. Canning was pitching well, but kind of slowing down. He was the worst pitcher in baseball last year. Like, he left a lot to be desired with this rotation, and now they have to rely on, you know, 22-year-old kids who clearly shouldn't be here yet. So it's you know, Mendoza's made some bad decisions, but he's really been put in a really tough spot with the way this pitching staff was constructed, and it's not good enough.
No, it's sorry, BT, go ahead.
Good. Thanks, Charles. Thank you for the call. So, you know, one thing that I used to say, and it's changed a little bit this year, because I do like the team a lot better now because they've made some good trades, and I think they've got a chance to win something here with the Yankees. But I was always critical of the Yankees, where I'm like, listen, you're burning prime years of Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge. What are we doing? I mean, I've been watching the Yankees for a long time. I didn't see vintage Guidry. But, you know, all the other guys I saw after that, and nobody could tell me that they were definitely better than Gerrit Cole. Like, you want to have a conversation, maybe a year here, a Clemens, a Pettit, El Duque, whatever, but Cole's right there. That's the point. And maybe Mattingly, 85, I've never seen a better player than Aaron Judge. We've talked about that. And it was disappointing to watch these all-timers, you know, just not have enough to win a World Series. Well, it's happening to the Mets as well. Now, Soto's young, so that's a totally different timeline, all right? But Lindor's not a kid. Pete's not a kid. Diaz's contract is up. And to go, and this is the balance that I think Stearns missed here. And he rolled the dice. Last year it worked, this year it didn't. Last year we applauded that, this year we criticized it because it hasn't worked. But the prime years of Lindor and Pete, if Pete's even back, are vanishing. And they did not give themselves a chance to be a great team. They gave themselves a chance to be a good team, but to me, that's almost unfair to Lindor and Pete. You got to have better arms than that, man.
I did not like the rotation coming into the year. However, they were the best rotation in baseball for the first 2 months of the season. Now, so based off of what they did last year, and then that, it's like, hey, you know what? This guy knows what he's doing, clearly, and then everything fell apart. So to be a little bit fair to Stearns, while we didn't like it coming in, and I'm not a fan of Senga, Peterson was an all-star. I mean, as we mentioned before, in my mind, the main three culprits as to why the pitching has completely fallen apart has been Senga, Manaea, Peterson. Those are three guys that the majority of the fan base would at least trust to a certain extent. It wasn't looking at that saying, Montas, yes. Canning, Tyler McGill, you know, not going out. Also, you could say, even if you didn't sign anybody in the offseason, which some people wanted others, I wanted Walker Buehler. He hasn't been very good, so whatever. But if you don't want to sign somebody else in the rotation, the idea would be trade somebody at the trade deadline, which they also didn't do. Holmes, you had to know that there was going to be a part of him that was going to slow down and tire. That was just common sense. It all fell off together, but to me, the main three culprits are not even Stern's fault. Senga was here before he got here. Well, really, all Minaya was the one that he brought in and then kept. Peterson before he got here, Senga before he got here, and also those guys were expected and did do a lot more in the first half than what they did in the second half.
Okay, I remember saying, and it was more of, hey, just let's see what happens here, and I thought he'd be a lot better, and I didn't think that this would be an issue, but I thought it could be a possibility. Maybe we just invested too much trust in Sean Minaya. Forget about Stearns and the other guys here, because Minaya, you know, really, if you look at his stats prior coming to the Mets, average pitcher, some years he was awful. A couple of years he was a little bit better, but never a star, okay? And then he totally changed his delivery. And that caught the league by surprise a little bit here. And the one thing that I was a little fearful of from a Mets perspective was, well, all right, these last 18 starts, he's been a beast and he looks like an ace. There's no question. But the league eventually catches up to you. And I don't think Sean Minaya has ever had great stuff. Even last year when he was on that great run of almost 20 starts, I think it was a combination of good stuff with the ability to now conceal the baseball and give the hitter something different to look at. Hitters go to school. We always talk about this like a young hitter. Well, yeah, when he comes back for his second year, the league's going to, you know, have a book on him, and he's going to have to make the adjustments to the adjustments they make on him. Well, I think the league has made adjustments to Sean Manaea's windup. And I also think, and I don't know this, but, you know, I think part of the reason he's been jacked up physically this year, Sal, is because he's had such an abrupt change in his windup, and it's been a jolt and jarring to his body.
Well, we all talked about it, that you were going to, or they were going to gamble. The idea of bringing him back was going to be, well, do you think he's what he was in the second half or what he's been the majority of his career? I would have brought him back. I had no issue with it. I thought he was going to get more money than that. He has been a disaster. So there's no other way to put it. He's been a disaster this year. And furthermore, we talk about, like, I don't believe investing big money in starting pitching. However, the Mets, while the length of the deals are not the same, the Mets invested $25 million a year in Minaya for 3 years, $17 million in Frankie Montas for 2 years.
Oh, God.
That's $42 million a year.
Yep. Don't forget about Senga, $25 a pop, right?
Leave him at it for a second, okay, because these are the guys that they brought back in free agency. Max Fried is not anywhere close to that, $42 million per year.
So what do you get, 8 years, 160? What was Fried's total number?
No, it was over two.
Was it really? Okay.
Yeah. Eight years, $218 million.
Jeez.
So it goes up to after the next 2 years, where I guess they have it on the payroll. There's, why did I say 14 and a half and 14 and a half? And then it goes up to 31 after that. But even if you just say 31 at the high end,
yep,
I'd rather pay $31 million for Max Fried per year,
yes,
than I would $42 million for both Minaya and Mondas.
Oh, there's no question.
Now, even with the commitment, but that's what they did. So it wasn't like they just completely didn't spend.
Oh, I'm not accusing them of being cheap. I'm just saying they spent it the wrong direction. Yeah. And the other thing, too, is, you know, yes, it's a lot of money, and yes, the Yankees had to pay an extra year or so to get Fried to come here, but, you know, Rodon only has, what, 3 years left of his deal. Gerrit Cole, they played that perfectly. Hey, you want to opt out? That's great, man. Go, see ya. I mean, Gerrit Cole wanted to be a Yankee. Yankees weren't going to get fooled by that again, you know, with some others in the past. So while Fried is a lengthy, big-time, big-ticket commitment,
I mean, he's 31, and they signed him to an eight-year deal. That's a lot.
I know it is, yeah, but what I'm saying is it's not going to look as bad when Cole's contract is off the books and Gerrit and Rodon's contract is off the
also,
books.
There was one starting pitcher to make a big investment in this offseason. That was Max Fried.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know, we talked about it yesterday, BT, the MVP race in the American League. What a race we had. Both guys hitting two home runs last night. Judge going 50-51. Cal Raleigh going 59-60. Like, for me, and I said this yesterday, that Raleigh would get my vote. It's not a knock on Aaron Judge, and Aaron Judge may have had the better season overall, best player I've ever seen, but I go most valuable. And if you take Cal Raleigh off the Mariners, I don't think they're a playoff team. You put him on there, he's a catcher who now has 60 home. What? A catcher who has 60 home runs? This is, to me, the definition of an MVP season. You're taking a team like the Mariners, winning their first division in 25 years, whatever it's been, 60 homers, and doing it as a catcher. I don't know what more you need to do to win an MVP.
The odds right now are in favor of Cal Raleigh. They shifted. You know, the thing about the milestone of 60, and it really shouldn't make much of a difference, like, if Cal Raleigh hit 57 or right. 58 and Judge finishes with 52 or 53 or 54, I mean, it's nominal. I mean, and it's still fairly nominal. I mean, you know, plus six or plus seven when it's all said and done at the end of the year in favor of Raleigh. But the symbolism of 60 is going to be very hard for a lot of people to ignore. I got to tell you, let me just make a statement. Then I might have to amend something I said yesterday. So you want to look at it this way. If you believe the Judge should win the award, and that's what I said yesterday, and you're going to like this. If not, you're going to probably resist it. Take a hunt now. You know I love the OPS. Take 180 points off Cal Raleigh's OPS. You have an average player. Take 180 points off of Judge's OPS. You have Cal Raleigh. Now think about that. Let that resonate for a minute. What does it mean? Depends on how you process it. Whatever. I got to tell you, I did a deeper dive on the defense yesterday. Now, I'm not going to change this aspect. Just because you play like a more grueling position, or just because your team hasn't won a divisional title in a quarter of a century, I don't get wrapped up in that stuff. I look truly at the baseball evaluation and not the other things.
But those things can make you more valuable.
They could. I don't choose to incorporate that into my argument as much, but I respect that others do.
Being a shortstop versus a DH, for me, the shortstop's more valuable. Being a catcher versus a right fielder, the catcher's more valuable.
If you're a good defensive catcher.
Right.
That's what I said yesterday. Now, obviously, DH shortstop, DH center, DH anything, that's a totally different conversation. But Judge is a plus-plus right fielder, and I know that because we watch Aaron Judge play baseball every day and have for a decade. I wasn't incredibly familiar with Cal Raleigh's defensive numbers. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know he's a masher. I know he's having a season he'll never have again. And his defensive numbers are actually really good. Like, he's number five or six in framing. And these things matter to some people, that whatever. I just wanted to get every single thing buttoned up because it's that close, okay? So he's a really good framer. He's about plus seven or eight runs in terms of runs saved. So he ranks very highly there, blah, blah, blah. I said yesterday that I think Judge should win and will win. I said that I think that he should win going away, which honestly, as I look at this, it just seems like a pretty dumb statement now in hindsight. I got to take that back. And I'm going to actually change this. The more I think about this, I actually think Cal Raleigh should win. And I think that he's going to. The number 60, just the energy that's out there around this, it's impossible to deflect the noise around the symbolism of 60 for a catcher. It really is for me.
Yeah, right, but that just goes against everything that you said you believe in.
Well, but Sal, think about this. That's why I went and I did the defensive homework right. That I did last night. When we had the conversation yesterday,
yeah.
And it was just a surface, very cursory level.
Right.
I did not know what kind of defensive player he was. He's not Pudge Rodriguez, he's not right. Johnny Bench. I don't think about Cal Raleigh that much until this year.
But he's not winning the MVP because of his defense.
I understand that. But now that he's got more home runs and he has hit a benchmark historically, it hit me. I'm just saying I'm changing my opinion because it hit me differently last night. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's very close. Now, maybe I shouldn't get wrapped up in that. That's why I presented it the way I did. If he was at 58 and Judge is at 53 and it's plus five Cal Raleigh, it shouldn't be a big difference. If he finishes at 61 and Judge finishes at 55, it shouldn't be a big difference plus six Cal Raleigh. It just resonates different. It resonates in a way with me that I didn't think it would, quite frankly, yesterday. So I'm obviously allowed to change my mind. And then the defensive prowess that I did not know that he possessed on a day-to-day basis, I'm coming to the air today, and I'm saying that I think Cal Raleigh will win, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't care. I'm just saying what I would do, and I said this in the summer, that if Cal Raleigh hits 60, there's no way you could not give him the MVP and takes the Mariners to the postseason. So I'm looking at it most valuable player. It's the same way I felt about Lindor last year. If you took Lindor off the Mets, Mets aren't a playoff team. If you took Shohei Ohtani off the Dodgers, they still win the World Series. So not to minimize Shohei Ohtani, but he's a DH and the Dodgers are loaded anyway. If you take Cal Raleigh off the Mariners, they are not anywhere near what they are, not to mention that he's having a historic season. By the way, he's been a good player. Like, the idea that this is a one-off for Raleigh, now it might be for 60, but how many guys have hit 60 multiple years? Like, Judge hit 60.
How many guys have hit 60 ever?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay, well, but that's the point. So, like, how did Judge follow up his 63 or whatever season? So it's not like it's not a knock to say that, okay, well, you know, Cal Raleigh's not going to do it ever again. The guy the last 2 years, really 3 years, 2022, he had 27 homers, 63 ribbies. 2023, 30 homers, 75 ribbies. 2024, 34 homers, 100 ribbies. He's progressively gotten better. Now, this is absurd. 60 home runs, 125 ribbies. But all as a catcher? Like, I don't care if he's a bad defensive catcher. Mike Piazza, the offensive numbers that he put up as a catcher were accentuated because he was a catcher.
Mm.
When you hit like that and have the grind of catching, I don't know how many exact games he's caught.
I think 130 something.
Okay.
And he's played 155 games.
Bingo. He's playing a whole season.
And Judge got it. Now, if Judge didn't get hurt, that may change how I feel about this because, you know, he'd pop out a few more home runs and there'd be more RBIs.
Well,
Judge got hurt.
Are you just caught up on 60? Is that the big difference?
It's kind of hitting me. Like, I didn't think it. Listen, I could only be honest here. And we had the talk yesterday. I'm like, no, it's Judge. But it's not just the 60. That's part of it. That symbolism I can't ignore as somebody who loves baseball and loves the numbers. 60 just popped more to me than I thought it would. But it's also the defensive prowess. He's a good defensive catcher, and I didn't know that.
To me...
Oh, he was a good defensive... did you know? Hoff, did you know that this guy was a really good... Nobody, who the hell knew?
No, but it's irrelevant to me.
No, but that's what I'm saying, not to me. Because
who would you vote for last year in the National League? Because we had this debate.
I would have Ohtani. I thought the right person won the
How
job.
How good was he defensively?
But he stole 50 bases. I mean, that to me was he had 50 home runs. But that was all time.
But one guy
played 50-50.
But if you're factoring defense into the equation, one guy plays shortstop every day and played at a high level.
But I also respected Lindor as an answer. It's not like I was saying, Lindor. I just thought Ohtani deserved to win the award.
And all I'm saying is that defense should not play a factor in this particular case in my mind. Like Cal Raleigh defensively, who cares? Well, this to me, he wins the MVP not because of what he does defensively, because he's having a historic offensive season. Furthermore, like, Judge is the best player. Nobody's going to dispute that. But if you're just going based off of MVP, most valuable, this type of season is exactly, in my mind, what the MVP should be about. A guy like Cal Raleigh is having an all-time season, the most valuable player for a single year. While Judge is the best player, it's not automatically, we'll give it to A-Rod every year, give it to Ohtani every year, give it to Bonds every year, mm-hmm. give it to Judge every year. This is the type of season that, to me, is perfect for an MVP award for Cal Raleigh.
There's also voter fatigue here. So I'm telling you what I would do, and then obviously trying to project what I think is going to happen. And at this point, I do think that Cal Raleigh Cal Raleigh's finished. You know, he deserves it. And I just didn't feel that yesterday. I don't know how else to be. You know, I just telling you how I feel. It's very different. Whereas, but I do think that the voters also probably feel that way. And even if they didn't, you know, even though Judge is revered and a really good guy, we've seen this in the NBA where sometimes the string ends because of voter fatigue. You want to see somebody else win it. I listen, at the end of the day, let's say 10 years from now, I would have a, like, if I had a vote and I cast it yesterday, I voted for Judge. I think in 10 years or 5 years, I'd have a rough time looking back and saying, man, how did I not vote for a guy with 60 home runs and was a good defensive catcher, which I value more than you, I get, and played every day, and his team won a division for the first time in 25 years. If they do, it just, I changed my mind.
Jim is calling from Long Branch. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. And you know what? You're both right about Cal Raleigh. Should he win it? Should Judge win it? My thing is, as a Yankee fan, if Cal Raleigh breaks Aaron Judge's home run record and he gets the MVP, he's going to destroy this trivia question that I've won money and drinks and shots on.
That's about,
well, that's
being
all that matters.
The American League MVP being a switch hitter. That's why I'm going to be mad. And I'm a diehard Yankee fan.
All right.
Yeah,
guys are both right. And honestly, Cal Raleigh deserves it.
Well, there is no right or wrong in this. And thank you for the call, Jim. It's who you would vote for. I mean, it's a very simple. This is not brain science here or rocket science, whatever it may be. This is very simple. Who would you vote for MVP? We had the conversation last year with Lindor Ohtani. We could have it now with Judge or Cal Raleigh. Now, I personally don't get caught up in that stuff. The Mets have never had an MVP, so maybe from that aspect, could it be intriguing or interesting? Yeah, sure, whatever. If Juan Soto won the MVP this year, you think that would make me happy?
I think he's third in the odds right now, too.
Don't even care. It's not even. It doesn't even register to me. And if Judge doesn't win the MVP, it doesn't take away from what we know is another great season by, in most people's opinions now, the game's best player. But I would vote for Cal Raleigh. I think he's had an MVP season.
Yeah, it's not about downgrading Judge. It's about the acknowledgement of what, you know, based on the number 60, it is now historic here. Now, I will say this. Like, if this was years ago, like during the steroid era where everybody was hitting 300, everybody was hitting bombs. Now, I am a little clouded by me still, and I admit this, I still hang on to the batting average stat a little more than most. I know it's antiquated. I get that. I look at all the other numbers. I love Savant. You guys know that. But if you're hitting 325, 330, and there's only seven or eight guys in baseball who are over 300, you know, that's part of my calculus. Like, I would feel totally good about this, 1,000% Cal Raleigh. If he was hitting like 287, 290, what was he at, 246 now?
248.
Yeah, I mean, it's south of 250, but the 60 home runs. And
well, but as a catcher, this is not, if Cal Raleigh were doing this as a first baseman, maybe I would even change my mind. I'd still think that, okay, most valuable, Mariners, all that stuff. But the fact that he's doing this as a catcher.
Yeah, but you're telling me the defense doesn't matter. You're just so basically what you're saying is the arduous nature physically of crouching.
Yeah.
See, that's what I don't care about.
And a premium position.
You know, it's obviously premium. That's, I don't factor that in. I don't care about that. Like, if you crouch.
How many catchers have ever done this before?
Well, none. But that's not my point. Like, if you crouch every day and guys are stealing at a 65% rate and you're the 13th best framer in baseball, you're a horrible catcher. I don't care that you play every day as a catcher. Like, I don't give you points for that.
Piazza got points
for
that.
No, I know, but I'm giving Raleigh points for being a good defensive catcher, not just that he is a catcher.
Right, but
that's all I'm saying.
Understood. The appeal with Piazza was that, well, he's a great offensive catcher. Like, you're getting that offensive production from the catcher spot, which you just don't get. And he was not a good defensive catcher, so to me it didn't matter. You live with it because where are you getting that type of offense from that spot?
From the catcher.
Yeah, well, you don't.
I can appreciate that because historically there's a few other positions in baseball, like second base. You know, rest in peace, Ryan Sandberg just passed away recently. You know, he was putting up some big years, but we didn't really see that because he came up when we were young, most second basemen slapping the ball, not doing a whole lot, stealing, bunting, that stuff. You know, Joe Morgan was a great second baseman, some you know, names back in the day. But yeah, I mean, there's generally been a dearth of offensive forces at second, certainly even fewer at catcher. So I can appreciate people looking at that and saying, oh yeah, he's a catcher with those numbers. But the fact for me that he is a good defensive catcher, that adds up even more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And I have a totally different list than what I've had the first couple of weeks. I know you were out last week. Not that I kept the old ones, but I just know what's different in my mind. I'm going to start with number five. I have the 49ers as the fifth best team. And by the way, this is one of the more difficult ones for me. Beyond the top three, I was having a hard time going with legit 4 and 5 teams after what we've seen through the first 3 weeks so far. Niners have done it with a backup quarterback here, after the week one with Purdy going down. Have they looked dominant? No, but I just believe that they're ready for a big bounce back year. McCaffrey seems healthy, knock on wood right now. I believe in their defense, had some impressive wins early on here. 2-0 in the division, 2 wins on the road. So even I know one was against the Saints still. The fact that the Niners are undefeated, doing it with a backup quarterback, at least a part of it, and the way that I project them to be one of the top teams in the NFC, I have the Niners cracking my top five for the first time.
Yeah, these couple of slots were tough for me as well. I don't have the Niners in my top five, but I thought about them for a little bit here. That's a very competitive division, by the way. So I've got Green Bay at number five, okay? Now, I don't love the way they looked this past weekend. You can't lose to the Browns. I mean, that's an automatic demerit there. But, you know, they did beat the Lions, who were maybe a little bit better than we thought coming in. Remember the Lions, we were talking to Mike about this with the coaches, the linemen. Suddenly the Lions look like they're actually very good again. As they beat the Commanders, Green Bay did. So those are two playoff teams. Again, weird, odd loss to the Browns, but you're still getting Parsons rounded into form. Jordan Love is not great, but he's good. They can run the ball. I think they've got pretty good balance. I got Green Bay number five for me.
All right, number four for me. I'm going to go with the Chargers. Now, you've had Green Bay and the Chargers, I think, on your top five. I think this is my first time putting the Chargers on there, and I'm a little hesitant to do that. I'm not as sold on the Chargers as I was a year ago, which is odd because they should be better than they were a year ago. I just need to see a little bit more because of the way that last year ended. And just I'm not seeing dominance. I see a sound, good, well-coached, solid football team with a good quarterback. They can make explosive plays. They can play some defense. They can run it. They can do a little bit of everything, and obviously undefeated. I'm a little weary of them in this particular game on the road against Jackson Dart. There's an unknown there, even though I severely favor the coaching matchup with Harbaugh. Anyway, I have the Chargers now at number four. It's not a knock. Look, you're top four, but I'm still not sold on them. I want to see where I get to a point where I really feel like they could be a top three team. I want to see them beat. I know they beat the Chiefs, but that's week one. It's in Brazil. Is that really impressive? Beating the Raiders, beating the Broncos. Okay, solid win at home, field goal game. I could see it going the other way for the Chargers. I think they got work to do against quality opponents is what I really need to see.
Okay, I got a team that really nobody talked a lot about during the summer because nobody really knew how healthy their quarterback was. Matthew Stafford's back was pretty jacked up, and I think we all just forgot about the Rams there. I didn't. I got them number four here. Now, I don't know what sort of machinations we get in the standings as the weeks roll on in the NFC West. It's going to be very, very competitive. So the Niners are 3-0, as you said. Obviously, Arizona, Seattle, they play each other tonight. Both teams are 2-1, and the Rams are 2-1. But with a healthy Stafford and a coach that I've always loved here, I feel like I'm maybe throwing him in there a little bit early, but I'm just a massive Stafford guy. I got the Rams at number four.
Love that pick. I was debating on having them at number five, but because the Niners are undefeated, and I believe in Shanahan a little bit. And by the way, the Rams only lost, and was really they shouldn't have even lost that game to the Eagles.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. So I would have the Rams on my list as well. They just didn't make the cut here, but I love that pick by you thinking outside the box. All right, number three, the team that did, in fact, and this is kind of where we get to more chalky, maybe outside of my number one, the team that did, in fact, beat the Rams. I got to have the Eagles up here. They have not been dominant. People question their offense and, oh, you know, the offense is boring. Yeah, but all they do is win games, continually win games. And they have enough, whether the tush-push, you want banned or whatever, but they have enough defensively, offensively to be a well-rounded, well-balanced team. I never thought I'd see this with Sirianni, who I thought was a doofus after his opening press conference. Obviously, a Super Bowl-winning doofus at that. So the Eagles, to me, have to be up there, reigning Super Bowl champs, undefeated, even though it's not as dominant as maybe you would expect.
Uh-huh.
I have them at number three on my power.
Yeah, the doofus, that's always crazy. Cracks me up. All right, number three for me. You already have them on there, so I'm not going to go nuts to your Chargers. You know, you're 3-0 in the division, and you ran through the reasons. All right, Brazil, whatever, Raiders, all right, whatever, I got you. How good really are the Chiefs there? We don't really know, but they should be 4-0, and we're all pulling for Jackson Dart this week, but they're favorites, and they should be, and they're big favorites. So I do think that they probably beat the Giants. I think that they get to 4-0. And more specifically, you know, you talk about the quarterbacks in the NFL, like that top tier. Obviously, Allen's at the peak of his powers. Mahomes is still the beast. Lamar, although he's got to eventually crack through. Burrow, when he's healthy. I think when it's all said and done, I've got a lot more. I've got more faith in Herbert to ascend to that higher level than to take a step back or remain where he is. I think this is the year that we start looking at him like, okay, this guy is on that first line there. I got the Chargers number three.
You know, I'm going to go with the Bills number two. For the first 2 weeks, the Bills have been number one on my list. And they, you know, obviously they haven't lost a game, but there was one team, and you'll find out in a little bit, that I find more impressive than what Buffalo's done so far, but they've been pretty dominant. Dominated the Jets, obviously. And Miami, they let them hang around maybe longer than we expected that, but still undefeated, putting up big point totals, 41, 30, 31, and I couldn't find a team that could knock them out of the second spot. One team, to me, overtook the number one spot, but I think you have to have the Bills at the very least in the top three, at least in my opinion, so I have them number two.
I got them at two as well. I mean, listen, you want a couple of the components that are going to be there for the duration of a season. Well, do you have a great quarterback? They do. And now McDermott's not a great coach. He's a good coach, but there's consistency there. Being the GM, they just a lot of things are in order up there in Buffalo. They got a great home field advantage. They won 13 straight games at Highmark Stadium. They're 17-point favorites this week. And, you know, Josh Allen, to me, at this point, I think Josh Allen is the perfect example. You talk about physical prime. And to me, a physical prime for an athlete is when the mind and the body fuse together. Like, you know, because a lot of kids, like, think about a young Lamar, but then he had to learn the game a little bit. Think about a young Josh Allen, he had to learn the game a little bit. His mind has caught up to his body and his ridiculous physical traits. Josh Allen is my favorite quarterback in football. I got the Bills number two.
All right, so give me your five through two again.
I got Green Bay at number five, right. Rams at four, Chargers three, Bills at two.
Because I'm trying to guess your one here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely going to have different, I would think, a different team here.
Oh, we do.
I'm going to go number one. It's the Lions, dude.
What?
Yeah. The Lions from nowhere, from out of the top five to number one. That was as impressive a win as there has been in the NFL this year. By the way, they take the spot of the team that they beat. I had the Ravens at number two for the first 2 years. They are now out of my top five after that. Like, you can't trust the Ravens. Their defense hasn't looked good enough. The offense hasn't done enough to win.
Henry's fumbling left and right.
Yeah. So even though they had an impressive performance against Buffalo, they lost. Same thing against Detroit. Looked great to start. But ultimately, Detroit's defense, that is something, Hutchinson being healthy, that is something we have not seen last year. Like, it was just the high-octane offense and no defense. Well, that was an impressive performance to go get a win on the road like that to stop or at least slow down Lamar Jackson and take control of that game with their defense, the way they manhandled the Bears the week before that. I'm throwing week one out because it's kind of preseason, but even with that, losing to the Packers, okay, on the road, it's going to happen. I think the Lions are better than they were a year ago. That was as impressive a win as I've seen in the NFL, period, and certainly from the Lions in a long time. I think Detroit is the best team in the NFL.
We're going to have to follow this because I don't agree. And I love Detroit. I always root for them. It's a good story. I mean, they torture like us with the Jets and the Giants now, too. But I just think that they're good, and they're better than I thought they'd be. But I also think the Ravens have taken a colossal step back, and I think that's part of the reason. Not to discredit Detroit, but I think that's part of the reason why maybe some think that they are as high as you do. Number one for me, I think sometimes we just overthink this stuff. I mean, Philly, all right, we everybody wants style points. Everybody wants to win like the way the Chiefs did for a couple of years. Doesn't always happen. It's not easy. Philly's won 12 games in a row at home. They've won 19 of 20 overall. And last week, you saw, now, they very easily could have lost that game. We touched on that with the Rams. But you saw the special team step up. You saw the passing game step up a little bit. So, to me, the Eagles looked as diverse and as balanced as they've looked all year. Philly, to me, is the best team still.
Yeah, and look, they're going to play each other November 16th. I was just looking that up because I'd love to see that matchup. I think when I do these projections, I'm thinking, okay, well, what would I envision if they played head-to-head? I think the Lions are better. So, yes, you have to show Philly the respect. I have them number three. Probably could make an argument for Philly number two over Buffalo, even though, you know, Buffalo's been impressive themselves. What I saw from Detroit is what I've been waiting to see from them from a long time. And maybe people count them out a little bit, myself included, the first 2 weeks of the season. And lost all these coaches, sloppy last year, the way they got bounced in the postseason. If they can play the type of defense that they did against Lamar Jackson, who I still respect. Like, I have the Ravens off my list right now because they're 1-2.
Me too.
And can't play any semblance of defense, period. But I still think Lamar Jackson and that Ravens offense is elite, like to the highest of levels. The Lions slowed them down on the road. I think the Lions would beat the Eagles head-to-head, but I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. I just think Detroit is back being one of the premier teams in the league.
Let me give you three quick things to chew on, like, real fast. Yeah. Number one, you think the Colts in a month are still really, really relevant?
No, I mean, they were obviously somebody that was under consideration. Uh-huh. I don't think that they're going to be a top five.
Are you buying Tampa? And maybe at some point jumping into the back end of the top five.
Yeah,
or rather.
I think I had them last week at number five, but it's the offensive line so banged up. They should have lost that game to the Jets anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they played a horrible, horrible game. So, yes, consideration. I'm not sure they're going to crack the top five again.
And Mike Evans is hurt now as well. And let's face it, you know, without Jaden Daniels, it's easy to forget about the Commanders. I wouldn't forget about them.
Yeah, easy to forget. Man, they had an impressive win, but it was over the Raiders. Either way, some quality teams in the NFL. Power Up is brought to you by Princeton Longevity Center. Experience the power of personalized medicine. We'll come back, have Tony Richardson in studio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.